Affordable housing, an elevated park, and a new congressman for Seattle. Those are just a few of the issues you may have voted on in yesterday's primary. KUOW's Deborah Wong has been following the initial results, and she joined us now for a recap. Good morning, Deb.
Hey, Emily.
Let's start with the 7th Congressional District. There were 9 candidates running, and Pramila Jayapal came out ahead with 38% of the vote. Tell us more about her.
Well, Jayapal is serving her first term as a state senator. She immigrated here from India at the age of 16 to go to school. She worked as an investment banker, and then she became a political activist. And most notably, she founded the immigration rights group, which is now called One America. She has been active in a variety of causes, including helping lobby for the $15 an hour minimum wage law in Seattle. She's had a lot of support from labor unions, women's groups, and she's raised the most money. Most importantly, she received an endorsement from Bernie Sanders. So she's been focusing on social justice and women's issues a lot in this campaign.
We'll end up seeing 2 people on the November ballot for this 7th congressional seat. Jayapal will most likely be one of them, and it looks like either King County Councilmember Joe McDermott and State Representative Brady Walkinshaw will be the other candidate. Tell us more about them.
Well, Joe McDermott is serving now as president of the King County Council. He's been in politics for a decade and a half. He served in both the legislature and on the county council. He has been focusing his campaign on gun control, ending gun violence, and also getting money out of politics. And the thought early on was that he might benefit from name confusion because he shares a last name with the retiring and very popular Congressman Jim McDermott. Then there's Brady Walkinshaw. He's a state representative, and he's a relative newcomer to politics. He's from rural Whatcom County, and he's half Latino. He used to work on agricultural development for the Gates Foundation, and he made climate change his main focus, but he's also known for his work on mental health issues in the legislature. And the two men are really close in the vote count. They're separated by less than 600 votes. Walkinshaw told me last night at his party that he was pleased with the first results because he came into this, he says, as the underdog with the lowest name recognition. So he thinks he can pull ahead as more votes are counted.
Seattle voters weighed in on a couple of initiatives last night. They passed one and rejected another. The one that passed was a housing levy. Did that surprise anyone?
No. Seattle has always been very generous in raising money for affordable housing. The city's voted for housing levies since the 1980s. What was slightly different about this one is the size of the levy, because this was doubling the current housing levy and would cost the average homeowner about $122 annually. But there was no organized opposition to it. And it came at a time when there's been a lot of focus on homelessness and growing income inequality in the city. So I think that's why the levy sailed through.
And voters in Seattle were also asked whether to build an elevated park on the waterfront. More than 80% voted no. Tell us more about Initiative 123.
Well, this was basically the idea of one woman, Kate Martin. She's a city planner. She's been active in politics for years. She once ran for mayor. And she was inspired by a number of elevated parks around the world, including the High Line in New York City, to build what she called an elevated garden bridge at the waterfront using a piece of the old viaduct. And the idea was to preserve the views of Elliott Bay. There was very strong opposition to this, primarily from people who have been involved in the effort to plan the new waterfront, which has been going on for years and has been costing, you know, millions of dollars. They argued that this would completely undo all of that planning. And they raised a lot of money. They outspent her 10-1. You could see the no on I-123 signs all over the city. So they prevailed, and I-123 was soundly defeated.
Deborah Wong, thanks so much for recapping the primary for us.
Thanks, Emily.